originated toward the beginning of the creation. Lord Narayan spoke to Brahma. Lord Narayan spoke to Lakshmi. This knowledge of pure devotional service was also given to Rudra and to the four Kumaras. And it is explained by all great and authorized Vaishnavas that without receiving our knowledge from one of these four sampradayas, then the true understanding of Krishna consciousness cannot take place. In fact, Rupa Goswami quotes from the Shastra that without being initiated and receiving shiksha from the unbroken lines of these four sampradayas, one cannot understand Krishna consciousness. One cannot understand what is Vaikuntha. So as we have read in Bhagavad Gita, as time goes on, even these great sampradayas, evam parampara praptam, the true spirit is often covered in the eyes of the masses. And therefore, either the Lord himself appears, or he sends one of his most empowered representatives to create a spiritual revival, or to reestablish the real spirit of bhakti that is the essence of every sampradaya. So, through the Rudra Sampradaya, Vishnu Swami appeared. Through the Kumar Sampradaya, Nimbarkacharya appeared. Brahma Sampradaya, Sri Madhavacharya appeared. And to reestablish the truth and the essence of the spirit of what Lord Narayan spoke to Lakshmi Devi in the mood of pure devotional service, Sri Ramanujacharya appeared. And we read about his birth. It was at a time when the greatest of all of the acharyas of South India was Sri Jamunacharya. And he had his headquarters in Sri Rangam. Sri Jamunacharya came in this great line of the Sri Sampradaya. And he made his teachings in line with the Alwars. The Alwars were very, very, very great devotees who lived some hundreds of years before. And they wrote beautiful, beautiful devotional poems and songs. Now, one of the great disciples of Jamunacharya was a sannyasi of the name of Shailapurna. And Shailapurna had two sisters. One was Kanti Mati and one was Deepti Mati. So Sri Shailapurna, he helped, of course, to arrange for the marriage of his two sisters. After they were married, he went to Sri Rangam and completely dedicated his life only to the service of the lotus feet of his guru. So Kanti Mati married a very, very great Brahmin of the name of Asuri Keshavacharya. And he was very expert at performing yajnas. So he was also known as Sarvakrati. And they had one great anxiety in their heart, that they had no son. So he had great faith in the lotus feet of Lord Narayan. He was a very good devotee, very advanced devotee. So he decided he would go to the temple of Parthasarathi, which was close to the ocean in the modern day Madras. In those days, that area was called Brindaranya. And he performed a wonderful yajna for the pleasure of Lord Parthasarathi and requested that his son would be born. And it is explained while there, the night of that yajna, the Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him that you and your wife should now return to your native place. And an incarnation of myself will be born to you. So with great happiness and confidence, he returned home. And some months later, Kanti Mati gave birth to a beautiful and auspicious child. It was in the year 1017 of the Christian era. And just at that same time, her sister, Deepti Mati, also gave birth to a baby child. And after a few days, the two sisters came together, bringing their children also together. And they were both just merged in great happiness. And when this news came to Sri Rangam, to Shaila Purna, he decided to come to give the blessings of his Gurudev to these two nephews of him. So he came back to, they were living in a place, I believe it was called Bhutipuri. And when he came there, he saw the beautiful qualities of this son of Kanti Mati, and he could understand that the prophecy given by the great, great devotee Nam Alwar has been fulfilled, where he prophesied that Lakshman, the brother of Ram, will take birth as a great acharya to deliver all the people. So he named this child Ramanuja, which is another name of Lakshman, which means the follower and the brother of Sri Ram. And he named Deepti Manti's son Govinda. So their parents were very, very great devotees and very much cultured Brahmins. So they performed all the samskaras to their children. And from the very birth, Ramanuja was just an ocean of good qualities. Very obedient, very humble, very submissive, very, very learned, very anxious to always hear and learn more and more about the Lord. In fact, he was a natural devotee of Lord Narayan from his earliest ages. So when he was about 16 years old, his father very much insisted that he marry. So he got married. And just a few months after his marriage, actually I think it was only 1 month after his marriage, his father died. He was only 16 years old. So it was very difficult for them to remain in the same place without father. So Ramanuja, being very responsible, son as well as husband, he arranged for a house in Kanchipuram, which was a close city, and there they resided. Now, during his very earlier years, before even his marriage, there was a great devotee who was also a disciple of Jamunacharya. His name was Kanchi Purna. And he used to go from one village to another to worship the deities. And on the way, he would always pass by the home of Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya was always very, very attracted by this person's great, great love and devotion. In fact, although this person was born in a Sudra family, Kanchipurna, even great, great Brahmins worshipped his lotus feet because he had such simple and humble devotion, and he was always simply anxious to please the Lord. He worshipped the deity of Bharadraj, which is in Vishnu Kanchi. And what he would do is just very simple worship. He would fan the deity. In the summer, he would dip the fan in water and fan him. He would bring the best, nicest fruits to the deity. And in this way, he had such a loving relationship that it is said that he would be able to have conversations with the Lord. And it was known by many great devotees that whatever the Lord wanted people to know, he would speak through Kanchipurna. So Ramanuja was very, very happy and very honored to have the darshan of this person from time to time. And they became very, very close and loving friends. One day it is explained, Kanchipurna was passing and Ramanuja invited him to his home. And when he invited to his home, they offered him some prasad. And then Ramanuja wanted to massage his guru's, this great saint's lotus feet. And Kanchipurna says, no, why, you cannot massage my feet. You are of the highest caste Brahmins, and I am a Sudra. I am a very fallen soul. This is not proper for you to massage my feet. So Ramanuja replied that if my being born as a Brahmin is an impediment to serving the lotus feet of a great devotee of the Lord, then I consider this Brahmin birth to be a curse and utterly useless. That because when someone is a great devotee of the Lord, there is no question of caste distinctions. A devotee of the Lord, wherever he is born, however he is born, can deliver all of the world with pure devotional service. So Kanchipurna was very much happy to hear this young boy's complete faith in the process of bhakti. So after they moved to Sri Kanchipurna, Ramanuja was sent to the Gurukul, the ashram of one very, very great, learned acharya. At least he was famous as such. His name was Yadava Prakash. Yadava Prakash was a follower of Shankaracharya. He was a staunch Mayavadi, but he was very highly learned. So Ramanuja very much wanted to understand the Vedas. But when he would, and he was so intelligent that whatever he would hear, he would immediately learn and understand and grasp. But whenever he would hear the Mayavad conclusions of his teacher, it would just cause too much pain to his heart. But because by nature he was very mild, very gentle, and very humble, he would just somehow or other restrain and tolerate his feelings. But one day it is explained, Yadava Prakash, after the classes, he asked Ramanuja to stay back because Ramanuja was his favorite and dearmost of all students, because he was so obedient and so humble and so anxious to serve and so anxious to learn and so capable of learning. So when he sent all the other students away, he asked Ramanuja to massage his legs with oil. So Ramanuja was very humbly massaging his legs. And then one student came back, and he asked his teacher that I have a question in terms of one of the shlokas from the Chandogya Upanishad. Here it is described that the lotus eyes of Lord Narayan, they have a beautiful reddish color. Can you explain this in more detail? So his guru just explained, according to Shankaracharya, this
verse.
That the meaning of this is that, he used the Sanskrit, that the eyes of Narayan are beautiful, reddish color, like the rear end of a monkey. And he was going on explaining in this way. And Ramanujacharya, when he heard this blasphemy of Lord Narayan, just tears started flowing from his eyes, and these tears were hot, and they started falling on the body of his guru, and his guru felt these burning tears, and he looked up and he saw Ramanuja in great distress crying. So Jadava Prakash says, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Because I cannot tolerate hearing this blasphemy of my Lord." "What do you mean?" He said, "How could you compare the lotus eyes of Lord Narayan to the rear end of a monkey?" He said, "This is Shankaracharya's explanation. I am repeating. Can you think of something better?" And then Ramanuja, very, very expertly, in a poetic way, explained the same Sanskrit verse to explain that the real meaning is that his eyes are red like the red lotus that is in the presence of the shining sun. Became a great tension between the two. So, on another occasion, Jadava Prakash was giving a lecture, and he was explaining how the form of the Lord is an illusion, how the Supreme Absolute Truth is Satchit Ananda, and how he is beyond Satchit Ananda. And when Ramanuja was hearing this, he could not control himself. He stood up and he gave a counter-explanation, which completely defeated his guru. And his guru became very angry. He said, "Why do you even come here to learn from me? Why don't you..." And then he just chastised him very seriously. He said, "You are impudent. You think you can challenge your spiritual master. You are a rascal." And then Jadava Prakash became very worried that this boy, he is so learned, and he has so much of a pure heart and so much devotion to Narayan, that he will completely destroy the philosophy of monism. He will completely discredit Shankaracharya if he's allowed to continue on. So he called some of his disciples to a secret meeting to discuss what to do about him. One of the disciples said, "Why don't you expel him from school?" Another disciple said, "That's even worse. If he excels him from school, he will start his own school. And the way he's speaking, his school will completely defeat and discredit all of our guru's philosophy and make an ass out of our guru." So then the guru said, "The only way that we can protect our mission is this boy must be killed." So they planned out a way to kill him. That I will take all of my students on a pilgrimage to the Ganges in northern India. This will take many, many months. And during that time, we will figure out some way to kill him. And then when we come back, we will tell them that during the trip, he fell ill and he died. And then no one will question us. So they planned out this trip to the Ganges. And when Ramanujacharya, when he heard that they were going to Ganga, and Guru was taking them on pilgrimage, he became very happy. He was ready to go. And his cousin, Govinda, also decided that he would go because he was also a student. So they all went together. And when they came to one place near the Vindhya Mountains, it is explained that they were in the forest, just living in forest besides a river. And Jadava Prakash told his disciples. He sent Ramanuja out to do some errands, to collect some flowers and so forth to bring back for worship. And while he was away, Gurudev told the disciples that this is the proper time that we should kill him in the forest. No one will ever know. But while he was speaking, it was just about evening. The sun was about to set. And Govinda happened to be in the trees, in the forest nearby, and he heard the whole diabolical plan. So he was very much disturbed. And he approached Ramanuja in the forest, and he told him that you should not come back, because this Yadava Prakash and his disciples, they are so envious and fearful of you that they plan to kill you on this very evening. So Ramanuja began to run through the forest to get away. And when he did not come for a long time, they started, Guru and the disciples all started calling him and searching everywhere. And when night was beginning to fall, they realized that he must have been killed by some wild animals, and therefore he must be dead, because they didn't suspect that he knew. So they were all very happy and joyful in their hearts, but because Govinda was there, they all pretended that they were very sad. And Yadava Prakash began to preach to Govinda the difference between the body and the soul, and how you should not be lament over the death of a body, because the soul is eternal. And Govinda was listening patiently. So Ramanuja, he was running through the forest, and he was only very young. I believe he was only about 18 years old. And he didn't know where he was. He was a long, long way from home. So many hundreds and hundreds of miles from home. And he became very fearful. And then in his fearful condition, the night was coming. He was in the jungle. He did not know where to go, where to not go. He started to think that Lord Narayan is the supreme controller of everyone, and I am his devotee, so why should I be afraid? He will protect me. And just upon remembering the mercy of Lord Narayan, all of his fear was vanished. And just after he came to that conclusion of taking shelter of the lotus feet of Narayan, he saw a hunter with his wife walking through the forest. They said to him, they were very surprised to see this young man. Where are you going? He said, I am going to Kanchipuram, but I do not know how to get there. It's such a long way. And they said, oh, well, we are also going to Kanchipuram. Why? He had already been traveled for over 1 month. Does that mean such a long distance? He said, so far away, why you are going to Kanchipuram? The hunter said, well, you see, I trap birds and kill birds for a profession, myself and my wife. And this is a very sinful activity. So we must go to Rameshwar and Kanchipuram to perform yagya and to worship the lotus feet of the Lord to neutralize the offense of our sins. But we will guide you in that all the way back. So they walked for about an hour. They came to a river bank. He started a fire. The wife of this hunter said she was very thirsty. And the hunter said, now it is too dark, but there is a well very close nearby, and from that well we will get water in the morning. So the next morning they came upon that well, and Ramanuja climbed down the mountain to where that well was and brought water to the lady, and she drank, but she was still thirsty. So he went back and forth bringing more and more and more water as she drank. And one time when he was bringing it, she disappeared. She was no longer there. He brought the water up. She was not there. And the hunter was not there. No one was there. So he was wondering, how will I find Kanchipuram now? And just as he was thinking that way, he looked above the trees. He saw big, beautiful temples. What city is this? Then he saw someone passing by toward the well. He said, what is this city? They said, you don't know this city? It's the famous city of Kanchipuram. And he said, and you are one of the prize students of Yadava Prakash. You live here. How do you not know the city of Kanchipuram? faster than that person walked by. And Ramanujacharya could understand that that hunter and his wife were Lakshmi and Narayan. He got that realization from within his heart, that the Supreme Person, when he was lost in a helpless condition in the forest, he prayed that the shelter of Lord Narayan always protects his devotees. So on the basis of that humble prayer, Lord Narayan personally came with Lakshmi to bring him back to his home. So then he just sat by the well, weeping and crying in ecstasy, thinking of the great mercy that he had just received from the Lord. And then he went back to his home. His mother was very happy to see him. She was thinking it would be at least 6 months, but he had returned only after about a month. And he told her the story, why he returned early, how Yadava Prakash was planning to kill him. So she was simultaneously very sad to hear this, but very happy that Lord Narayan saved her son. So he was at home. And very soon after this, or not very soon, but sometime after this, some months later, Yadava Prakash returned. And when he found that Ramanuja was at home with his mother, he went to the house and pretended to be very, very joyful, very happy. Oh, we thought you were dead. But we see that you are alive. You have been saved by the Lord. And he and the disciples made big show of showing great happiness. But they knew that there was something else. So in this way, Yadava Prakash invited, he saw that Ramanuja was becoming so incredibly influential that he wanted him to return to his school so that he could find some other means. So he returned for some time. But then on another occasion, there was a philosophical confrontation. And then Yadava Prakash became so angry that he just had to kick him away. Now it is explained, when he returned, at one time, when he was again the student of Yadava Prakash, Jamunacharya came from Sri Rangam for the darshan of Vardraj. And when he was walking through Kanchipuram, he saw this beautiful sight of Ramanujacharya. Now Ramanujacharya had already written a particular commentary on a sloka from the Upanishads, which completely defeated Shankara's philosophy. And that sloka became so famous, Yadava Prakash hated it. But when it came to Sri Rangam and Jamunacharya read it, he thought, this person is divinely empowered. So he saw Ramanuja, and Yadava Prakash had his hand on Ramanuja's shoulder. And Jamunacharya, who was then over 100 years old, he asked one of his followers, who is that? He said, that is Ramanujacharya. Ah, he said, he is the one that wrote that beautiful commentary establishing the eternality of the jiva and establishing pure bhakti as the highest goal of life. Yes, that is him. He said, well, what is he doing with this Mayavadi Yadava Prakash? Rascal. He said, he is a student. Jamunacharya was just so anxious to just run up and embrace Ramanujacharya. But Jamunacharya would never associate with Mayavadis. So he began to offer prayers to Lord Narayan. He began to offer prayers that, please, rescue this Ramanuja, such a wonderful devotee. Rescue him from this terrible, terrible association, which is so contaminating to the heart. Then bring him again to your lotus feet and to the association of Vaishnavas. And then Jamunacharya, after offering this prayer, he went for his darshan and returned back to Sri Rangam. So then there was a great confrontation, and Ramanuja ultimately left his guru, his teacher. Now, after he left, he was very much desiring to be initiated by Kanchipurna, who was this great Vaishnav who happened to be Sudra. And when Kanchipurna, they would meet regularly, and Ramanuja said, now I am no longer associating anything with this Yadava Prakash, so please I beg you to initiate me and allow me to be your humble disciple. And Kanchi Purna was very humble. He said, how can I initiate you? How is it possible? You are so learned. You are a great Brahmin. I am low class. I have no real devotion. How can I initiate you? It is not possible. And so at that time, Kanchi Purna, he went to the temple of Bhardraj. And he said, I've dedicated my life only to be your humble, simple servant. That's all I want. But now, somehow or other, you are putting me in situations where great Brahmins want to be my disciples, and you want to put me in a position of being an acharya. I do not like this at all. So with your permission, I want to leave Kanchipuram and go to Tirupati to worship your form of Balaji. So Bhardraj Murti said, yes, you go and worship me in Tirupati. So he just left. So after 6 months, the summer came, and Balaji spoke to Kanchi Purna and said that I am very hot, and no one refreshes me with such loving service as you. So you must return to Kanchipuram, and you must serve me in my form of Bhardraj. So then he returned. So, again, Ramanuja asked Kanchi Purna for initiation. He told him that I cannot do this, he said. And Ramanuja started to think that the reason why he is refusing to accept me as a disciple is because I have such a sinful heart. And I have no devotional sentiments. Therefore, he does not want such a useless disciple as me. So he was thinking, if I could somehow or other get the remnants of this great devotee's food, his maha maha prasad, then perhaps I will become purified and be worthy to be his disciple. So with this plan in mind, he invited Kanchi Purna to his house for prasad. And he told his wife, whose name was Raksha Kambala, that you must make best possible prasad for this great Vaishnava devotee. So she worked very hard on his order and cooked so many beautiful preparations. And then Ramanuja, just at about noontime, he went to the home of Kanchi Purna to personally bring him, escort him to his house for prasad. So after he left, Kanchi Purna knew Ramanuja's plan. So he came to the house from another way. And he came, Raksha Kambala, he told her that I'm in a great hurry, Bhardraj is calling me, I must do seva for him, you must give me prasad immediately. She said, but Ramanuja has already gone to your place, you must have come another way, and he'll be here in only a few minutes. He says, I cannot wait, I cannot keep the Lord waiting for my service just to feed my belly, so just serve me just now. So very carefully, with great attention, she served him all the different preparations, and he ate them all. And then he got up, he was so humble, he washed his place with cow dung and water mixture, and then he threw his leaf plate. And then what she did is she just cleaned up everything. And then Kanchi Purna left, and Ramanuja returned. Ah, he said, why are you cooking again? She was cooking again. Where is Kanchi Purna? I could not find him. She said, he is already here. He already ate. Ah, he already ate. Well, where are his remnants? She said, well, he's a Sudra. How could I give you his remnants? You are a Brahmin. We are both Brahmins. I have given his remnants to a Sudra woman. And now I'm cooking again for you. And he became so much upset, so much disturbed. He said, you are a rascal woman. You are the most unfortunate. What an offense you have committed to such a great soul. Thinking him to be of a certain caste, he's the greatest devotee. The goal of my life was to be fulfilled by taking his remnants, and you have spoiled everything. And then he sat down with his hands and his head in his hands and began to cry. So Kanchi Purna Ramanuja asked him about his initiation. So Kanchipurna spoke to Varadraj, the Murti, and had many, many instructions for Ramanuja's life that he gave him about how to, the nature of the Atma, the nature of the Paramatma, his duty to preach the glories of the Lord. And he also explained that you should accept initiation from one of the great, great senior devotees of Jamunacharya. I'm sorry, this happened a little later. What happened first is Jamunacharya, he was very old and he became very much sick. And all of his disciples gathered around him. And this was in Sri Rangam. And it appeared that he was going to leave his body any day. So Jamunacharya was remembering Ramanuja. And one of his very dearmost disciples, who's he told him that you must go to Kanchipuram and bring Ramanuja here before I die. So he went. And he went to Kanchipuram. And when Ramanuja heard that Jamunacharya was calling for him, he was just bringing some fruits and flowers to Varadraj. He said, let me just bring this to the deity and then I will go. So he brought to the deities, he made his offering, he said, now let us go. And this great devotee of the Lord, he said, but what about your wife and your mother? You will not even tell them where you're going? He said, in the order of Guru, one cannot even consider one's family. He is calling for me, this is my great fortune, I cannot hesitate. And they just went to Sri Rangam. It took several days of walking. During that trip, Jamunacharya left this world after he gave his final instructions to his devotees. Essentially, his final instructions were to always offer flowers and the best of whatever you have to the deity of Sri Ranganath, and always remember his lotus feet, depend always on his mercy, and free yourself from false ego by always serving the Vaishnavas. This was his final instructions. And then he left. So they began to make his funeral arrangements. They had a procession with his body. They brought him to the river Kaveri, and they were about to put him in Samadhi. And at that time, Mahapurna and Ramanuja arrived. And when they arrived in Sri Rangam, they heard that Jamunacharya had left his body. So they both began to weep and cry, and they both ran to the place where the funeral was about to take place. And when Ramanuja saw his guru laying there, he felt his presence so strongly. It did not appear like a dead body to him. It appeared like full of life, full of bhakti. So when people saw how Ramanuja was looking at the beautiful form of Guru, there was great wonder in everyone's mind. And then Ramanuja, he noticed that three of the fingers of Jamunacharya were very tightly like this. They were very tensely and tightly closed. So he said, did Jamunacharya usually keep his fingers closed like this? He said, no, we have never seen him like this. So then Ramanuja, understanding the inner heart of Jamunacharya, he said, I will take three vows on this day. One is I vow to spread the message of pure devotional service by my example and by my words throughout all of the land. And when he said that, one of the fingers opened and became straight. said, I vow to write a Vaishnava commentary of the Vedanta Sutra of the name of Sri Bhasya, which refutes Shankaracharya's arguments and establishes pure devotional service and eternal servitorship to the Lord as supreme. And when he spoke that, the second finger opened. And he said, due to great gratitude and appreciation for Parasara Muni, the father of Vedavyas and the exponent of so many instructions in the glories of Narayan from the Vishnu Purana, I will name one disciple after him. And at that time the third finger opened. And when everyone saw this, they could understand that Ramanuja really was being empowered by Jamunacharya to take over his mission. Because Jamunacharya, although he preached and wrote so many beautiful, beautiful prayers and writings, such as the Stotra Ratna and others, these were the three missions that were left unfulfilled in his life. The three things that he wanted to do, but was not given the time to do. So Ramanuja, being the very, very dear disciple, understood what his guru wanted. So everyone was very struck with wonder. And everyone could see that he was truly empowered by the mercy of Sri Gurudev Jamunacharya. And then Ramanuja decided that he would go back to Kanchipuram. So he returned. On his way, the devotee said, don't you want to first see Sri Ranganath before you go? He said, how can I see that Lord? The real Lord of my life, Jamunacharya, who is my eternal guide, my eternal preceptor, my shelter and my refuge, he has taken him away before I could even meet with him or speak to him. So in this mood, he went back to Kanchipuram. And there he was meeting with Kanchipurna, this great devotee, regularly. And it was there then that Kanchipurna told him that the Lord has told you that you will take initiation from a very, very great disciple of Jamunacharya. I think his name is Mahapurna. So 1 year went by, and the devotees at Sri Rangam, they celebrated the first anniversary from the disappearance of Jamunacharya, and they began to think that since he has left, there's so many great devotees, but nobody could speak and inspire people the way Jamunacharya did. Therefore, there is becoming much complacency and stagnancy in our mission, in our sampradaya. The only hope is if Ramanujacharya comes. So they sent Mahapurna to go there. And when he went, this great devotee went with his wife. They were also from a lower caste, Sudra caste, by birth. And Ramanujacharya was so happy that he divided his house in half and gave half to them. And then he accepted initiation from Mahapurna. And he also ordered his wife to also accept initiation. So he was so happy for many months just serving his guru. And although he accepted Jamunacharya's guru, because he never accepted initiation from him, he accepted from one of his disciples, and therefore he was the disciple of, in one sense, in the shiksha level of his own godbrother. So his shiksha guru was Jamunacharya, but his diksha guru was his godbrother. So one day, when Ramanuja was out, his wife was drawing water from a well, and Mahapurna's wife was also there. And accidentally, a few drops from Mahapurna's wife's bucket entered into Raksha Kambala's bucket, And she became very angry. She became furious and said, "You have spoiled all this water. You think I can use this water after it has touched the water from the bucket of a sudra?" He said, "You think just because that your husband has initiated us, that because my husband is so crazy that we've lost all our distinctions of caste?" And she began to chastise her severely. "Now all this water has to be thrown away. It's all wasted because of your carelessness." Mahapurna's wife was very humble and very shy. So she didn't say anything. She just sat down and started to cry. So when her husband came back, Mahapurna, and asked what happened, his wife told, and Mahapurna said, "It is the arrangement of Lord Narayan that we return to Sri Rangam. This is his invocation that we should not stay here any longer." So they immediately just left. So when Ramanujacharya returned home, he said, "Where is my guru gone?" And he was looking all over, and his wife explained that I just gently chastised her for doing like this. "What? You crazy woman? You have insulted the wife of my guru? You've insulted my guru himself by considering him to be a sudra? He said, you are such a sinful creature. It is a sin to even see your face." And then he walked out. And she was very upset by all this. She was very upset. Although she was a very obedient wife and always ready to help her husband in every way, and she was so beautiful. She was beautiful like an apsara. And she performed all rituals, and she believed in Lord Narayan, but she did not have that spirit of devotion that her husband had, that inner feeling of the essence of real devotion. So she was becoming a great impediment. So she was very much upset by her husband's words. So shortly after this, one Brahmin who was begging alms came to the house. Rakshakambala was there, Ramanuja was out. And when she saw this Brahmin, she just, "Brahmin, why are you looking so dejected? Did you look very hungry? Did you not get nice food?" He said, "I went to your house, but your wife, she was very angry, and she kicked me away, called me a beggar." Ramanuja began to think very deeply for a few moments. He said, "I have a plan by which my wife will feed you very nicely." And he wrote a letter. He said, "You bring this letter to my wife. Tell him that this letter is from her father in her native place." So he brought the letter. And when she heard that this man was a messenger of her father, she became very happy. "Oh, you are a messenger of father." And she read the letter, and she was very happy. And she served him all wonderful, nice prasad, and then sent him on his way. Then Ramanuja came. She said, "I have received a letter from my father." And he read. It was a letter to Ramanuja saying, "My dear son, your wife's sister is about to be married, and your mother-in-law, there's so much work to be done, she cannot do it herself, that Rakshakambalam, please, it's urgent, you must send her home right away. And if you can come, that is very good, but if you have some urgent business, at least send your wife. We need her immediately." So Ramanuja said to his wife that, "I have urgent business, I cannot go now, but you should go immediately. And when you go, offer all my respects and love to your parents and to everyone, and tell them if I can take care of my business, I will come as soon as possible." So she, very happy, she packed her things and she left. And just after she left, he went to the temple of Varadraj and said that, "Today I want to surrender everything to you. Today I want to completely take shelter of your lotus feet. I do not want any distraction from my service to you and from preaching your glories." And then he got saffron cloth and he made a tridanda, and he went to the banks of river, and there he started a fire to perform a fire sacrifice. And just at that time, Kanchipurna came. And Kanchipurna, he gave him sannyas. And he gave him the sannyas name Yatiraj.
And then Ramanuja went back into the town of Kanchipuram. And when everyone saw that he had become a sannyasi, he was still such a young man, and his wife was so beautiful, and she didn't even know what was happening. Some people condemned him. They thought he had gone mad. They thought he was crazy. But others who were more sincere understood that he is the most compassionate, most benevolent. He's given up such pleasures of such a beautiful life. His mother had already died sometime before, and he, and people one by one started coming to seek shelter of his lotus feet. And he began preaching. And he began preaching with such force and such devotion that gradually so many people were coming and coming. And then ultimately the devotees in Sri Rangam, they requested him to come to Sri Rangam to make his base there, because that's where his Gurudev was residing. So he went to Sri Rangam and made his base. And in this way, he preached the great philosophy of Vishishtadvaita. And of course, we can speak for many hours about the life of Ramanujacharya. So many wonderful incidents. Such a pure and great philosophy. He was really the first acharya to combat against the monistic views of Shankaracharya. In fact, he became so popular amongst the devotees that throughout the land people were falling at his lotus feet. But amongst the Mayavadis, they either had to surrender to him or they had to hate him. And there were even plots to kill him. There is a story of one king. And this king, he was a Shankarite. And the philosophy was being so much belittled by Ramanuja that he considered this a great offense to Lord Shiva. So he decided that Ramanuja must be either defeated or killed. So he sent his messengers to Sri Rangam that this king orders that you come back to have a debate amongst his ministers. Now, it was known by everyone that if he won the debate, he would be killed. And if he lost the debate, his whole philosophy would be discredited. So there was a disciple of Ramanuja whose name was Kuresh. He was a very, very devoted disciple. He was so pure and so simple and so humble, but yet so learned in his philosophy. And he told Ramanuja, his Gurudev, he said, "Please, I beg you, you are so important to this world, but I am insignificant. If this world loses your association, then it's lost everything. There's no hope. But I am insignificant. So please, let me go and accept this debate, and you hide. Otherwise they will kill you." So Ramanujacharya, seeing the great desire of his devotee, he put on the white cloth and left Sri Rangam in the guise of a grihastha, and nobody knew that he was leaving. And Kuresh put on his guru's sannyas robes. So when these messengers of the king came, they thought that he was Ramanuja. So they brought him back to Kanchipuram. And there the king brought his best ministers, who were all Mayavadis, and there was a big debate, and Kuresh completely defeated them. So they decided that this man must be killed. But there was an incident that took place sometime before. When Ramanujacharya was still a student at the house at the ashram of Yadava Prakash. Yadava Prakash was not only a great Mayavadi, but he was also a mystic yogi and a magician. And he was very famous for being able to exorcise ghosts, remove them from haunted people. So the king's daughter, princess, she was being haunted by a ghost very bad. She was just just totally mad and crazy. All blasphemies were coming from her mouth, although she was just a very quiet, shy girl. So they called for Yadava Prakash, and he was doing all of his rituals to exorcise the ghost, and the ghost, with a high shrill, spoke through the mouth of this girl, the princess, saying, Yadava Prakash, you have no power to get rid of me. You might as well give up all your futile attempts. I am so much more powerful than you. And Yadava Prakash, his whole image and his reputation was on the line, so he was trying again and again and again, but of no avail. So finally, the ghost again spoke in a terrible, shrilling voice through the mouth of this young princess that there is no hope. The only possibility is if your disciple, your youngest disciple, Ramanuja, comes. Because of his purity of heart, I will be forced to leave. So others heard this. So Yadava Prakash was forced to call his disciple Ramanuja. And Ramanuja came very gentle, very humble. And he began to pray to Lord Narayan, please save this girl. And just at that time, while he was praying, the ghost spoke through the mouth of the girl and said, Ramanuja, I will only leave the body of this girl if you put your lotus feet on my head. So then the princess, who was completely being controlled by the ghost, bowed down and put her head on the ground. And then Ramanuja placed his feet on the princess's head. And then Ramanuja said to the ghost, what will be the sign that you have actually left this girl? He said, there is a banyan tree that we are sitting under. And he said, the highest branch of this banyan tree will crack and fall to the ground as soon as I leave. So just within seconds, the highest branch of the banyan tree cracked and fell to the ground. So after Quraysh defeated the ministers, they wanted to kill him. But then the princess appealed that he saved my life. How can you kill him? He saved me from that ghost. So you cannot kill him. So instead of killing, they burned his eyes out. Just see the great dedication of a disciple for his spiritual master. And then they took Quraysh and they just threw him in a jungle area where he was just completely lost. And then they left him there. So Quraysh was feeling very grateful to Lord Narayan that he was allowed to do such a wonderful service for his spiritual master. He was not thinking, I have surrendered, I've done all this for my guru, and look at what's happening, I'm blind, I'm lost, I'll probably starve to death. Huh? He was very grateful. He was very happy that by your mercy, my Lord, you are so kind that you have allowed me to do such a wonderful seva for my Guruji. So this is the quality of a real disciple. He is willing to give his life for his Guru. He's willing to accept any inconvenience gladly with a grateful and happy and joyful heart. So then, miraculously, Quraysh was brought back to Sri Rangam. And when Ramanujacharya saw what his disciple went through for his sake, he began to cry in ecstatic love and embraced Quraysh. And then he brought Quraysh before Ranganathji in the Sri Rangam temple. And he prayed to Lord Narayan that if it is your desire, my disciple, he has gone through all of this only for me. So then a breeze came, and that breeze touched the lotus feet of Sri Rangam, and then that same breeze from his feet touched the eyes of Quraysh, and his vision was again restored. So Ramanujacharya, he was both loved and hated like all acharyas. Those who were representatives of darkness hated him. They were threatened by him. But those who were innocent, who were receptive to the truth, their hearts were utterly surrounded with love at his lotus feet. So he preached very, very far and wide the teachings of Vishishtadvaita philosophy. Vishishtadvaita philosophy essentially explains that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, as an eternal form, as an eternal abode, and is ever immersed in loving pastimes with his devotees. And he explains that there is three most important principles. There is chit, which is the spirit soul, the individual jivatma. And then there is sat, which is the material existence. He explained there is the individual jivatma, there is the material in nature, material existence, and then there is Ishwara, or God, or Narayan, who is the source of everything. And he refuted Shankar's explanation, who said that the jivatma and material nature are all an illusion. The only truth is Ishwara. The only truth is Brahman. But in his Sri Bhasya, he explained Janmadya Shegata, that everything is emanating from the absolute truth. That means the jivatmas are emanating from the absolute truth, and therefore, and also material nature is emanating from the absolute truth, because everything emanates from the absolute truth. So how could anything emanating from the absolute truth be an illusion? We must understand they are the energies of the absolute truth, energies emanating from the absolute truth. They are not an illusion. And he compared that Krishna is like the soul, and that material energy, mayic energy, and the jivatma are like his body, that all have a relationship to the soul. And in this way he established the eternality of both material nature and the eternality of the jivatma. And he explained in very, very deep philosophical terms the relationships between the three, and established this Vishishtadvaita, which means qualified oneness. Qualified in the sense that there is an eternal relationship between the Lord and his energies, which qualifies the oneness. Whereas Sridhapad Sankaracharya, he taught monism, which means simply that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya, everything is an illusion except Brahman, except the absolute truth, unqualified oneness. So in this way, Ramanujacharya really established the philosophical principles of Vaishnavism very, very strongly. And what he did is he took the devotional sentiments of the Alwas, of Jamunacharya, that they had such love and devotion to the Supreme Absolute Truth, Narayan, but he put it in terms of philosophy, which had not been done before in the Sri Sampradaya. He took these devotional sentiments and wrote them in terms of such a philosophy that was irrefutable and undefeatable. And especially with this philosophy, he extinguished the principles of monism established by Sri Shankaracharya. And of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took from the Ramanuja Sampradaya so much of the essence of this very, very, very divine teachings of pure bhakti. And of course, Madhvacharya, he also simply expanded on the teachings of Ramanujacharya. He in no way contradicted the teachings, but he expanded upon the teachings with the Dvaita philosophy. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he culminated the complete comprehension of the Absolute Truth through his philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. This way we can understand how the Lord is, through his empowered representatives, have staged the scene for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance as the Yuga Avatar. First, to annihilate the misuse of the Vedas, he appeared as Lord Buddha. Then after Buddha established nonviolence, moral conduct, austerity, meditation, pure life, then the Lord was able to reestablish the Vedas. But in order to do so, he had to keep the same conclusion as the Buddhists. And in the form of Lord Shiva, who was an expansion of Lord Narayan himself, he came and appeared in order to reestablish the conclusions of the Vedas. And then he appeared in his form of Ramanujacharya, considered to be Lakshman, incarnation. He came to establish the real essence of the Vedas, which was pure devotional service. You see, Ramanujacharya was very strict. He considered that the only valid evidence anywhere is in the Shastra. Not from inference anywhere else, only the Shastra's authority. So in this way, he was able to keep right to the Shastra and establish Narayana as the Supreme Absolute Truth. Through the Upanishads, through the Vedas, through all of them. Especially he dealt with the Upanishads, because he knew that the Upanishad and the Vedanta Sutra is really the only scriptures that the staunch Mayavadis accept as the highest truth. So Ramanujacharya did not deal so much with the Puranas. He did not make commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam. Although he accepted most of his teachings were on the basis of Upanishads and the Vedanta Sutra, because that's where he could really convince people of the truth of the Vedas and take away the illusions of Shankar's teachings. So in this way, Ramanuja came to reestablish the principles of pure bhakti. And then Madhvacharya came to establish the worship of Krishna. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to just bring them all together and just the final, ultimate essence of all philosophy, Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. And not only that, but he is giving within the field of Achintya Veda Veda Tattva philosophy the most purest, essential, highest relationships that can be developed through the five rasas with Lord Sri Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. So on these very holy days, the appearance days of such great acharyas, it is very auspicious to remember their lives, to nourish our minds by hearing their teachings, and also by praying at their lotus feet, because factually, these great acharyas are also within our line, in the sense that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, he imbibed the essence of all the four great sampradayas. All the four great sampradayas, in their purest, highest, most essential form, have all merged together in the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Huh? So although in disciplic line we are following strictly according to the Brahma Sampradaya, the Madhva Sampradaya, but in essence, Mahaprabhu, who is the Lord, Narayan himself, Krishna himself, he has come to synthesize all the sampradayas. So by surrendering to his teachings, one is actually surrendering and getting the true substance and the mercy of all the acharyas of all the previous sampradayas, of the four great lines coming from the Lord. So in this way, Ramanujacharya certainly is one of our great acharyas. And it is auspicious to worship Guru before we worship God. And Balaram is the representation of Guru, and Lakshman is Balaram. So Ram Navami is coming up. So I am thinking that it is very auspicious that today, by hearing and chanting the glories of Lakshman, the most intimate associate of Lord Ram and the representative of Guru of Ram, that we have begun our worship of Sri Ram Navami by falling at the lotus feet of Ramanujacharya.